Allie Raisman is one of the most decorated American gymnasts of all time, winning 6 Olympic medals as captain of the U.S. women's gymnastics team, the Fierce Five in 2012 and the Final Five in 2016. Now she's using her platform to promote body positivity, being an advocate for sexual abuse survivors, and push for systematic change within the sport of gymnastics. Her new book is Fierce, How Competing for Myself Changed Everything. She'll be speaking at the University at Albany's CEFQ Arena on Monday night at 7:30, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Allie Raisman to the roundtable this morning. Allie, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me on.
Nice to have you on. You are the author of the bestseller Fierce, How Competing for Myself Changed Everything. You'll be speaking, as I mentioned, at UAlbany on Monday night. I know you do a lot of visits to college campuses. What is the message you like to get across?
I mean, I think there's a bunch of different messages that I try to get across, and I try to be as honest and relatable as I can, because obviously I feel like as an Olympic athlete, I feel like it's sort of hard for people to relate to an Olympic athlete, and I think people think that, you know, that we're born with this crazy talent and that we're always having good workouts and everything comes easy to us in our sport, but that's actually not true. And so I really try as much as I can to be as relatable as possible. But I think also a cool thing is, you know, I'm also working a lot on myself. I do a lot of self-care. I do a lot of therapy. And so I've learned so much and I've grown so much in the last year. So I think if you were to look at one of the, you know, events that I spoke at a college a year ago, it would be different than it is now, because I'm always reflecting and I always can learn so much from students. And so I think that's also cool about it is, of course, you know, I talk about sexual assault on campuses because that's a really, really big problem. It's everywhere. It's horrible. But I also encourage students to take care of themselves, take time for themselves. I'm really big into meditation. I've been trying to meditate every single day. My New Year's resolution is to meditate at least once a day, every single day. So I'm going to try to do that. But I think it's really important for everyone to take time for themselves every single day, because then, you know, if you're somebody that you want to help other people, you can't help other people if you're not taking care of yourself first.
Have you come to terms with being a role model, with even being, when it comes to the issue of sexual assault, an activist for women? Have you just mentioned that you're changing and coming to terms, but are you coming to terms with that role of being a role model?
You know, when I first came forward, it was, you know, about a year ago. I didn't know what to expect. I was, of course, really nervous and really scared. I didn't know how people were going to react. I didn't know how I was going to deal with this. And so I have been just so amazed and so grateful for all of the support. I mean, just people have been so incredibly supportive, and I realized how many people could relate to my story. And I've just been so appreciative of, you know, even the students when I speak at colleges, they're so honest with me. And so I feel such a deeper connection to my fans than I ever have before. And it helps me, because sometimes when you're going through a hard time, and it's something that, you know, everyone can relate to going through a hard time, but sometimes you feel alone. And I think that, you know, what we learned, especially in the last year or so, especially with the Me Too movement, of how many people are going through hard times and how many, you know, there's been so many athletes and so many other celebrities that have been so honest about their struggles with mental health as well. And I think that's really, we're living in a time right now where people are really being honest about what they're going through. And I think it's helping other people realize that they're not alone. So I feel very grateful to be in this position, but I also take the responsibility very seriously. I feel like I get more nervous now for interviews than I ever did before, just because I care so much about what I'm saying, and I want whoever's listening to know that I'm human. And sometimes, you know, not everyone's going to agree with everything I say, but I'm not perfect, and I'm only 24 years old, and I, you know, how sometimes you learn is by making mistakes, and sometimes I say something, and if someone doesn't agree, that's how you learn. And so I take it very seriously. I try very hard. And I also recognize the fact that there might be survivors listening to this right now. And so I want to do them justice, and I want to make sure that I can help them in any way.
You know, one of the things that I find fascinating, and I think it's so interesting and quite beautiful about how seriously you take this, is that it seems like a very delicate well, a balance beam, if you will, that here you are at the top of this sport, a sport that, yes, has been good to you, but also has been awful to you. And you have, I assume you have very, I know I'm bringing to your talk a 12-year-old girl who can't wait to see you, and you are her idol.
That's very sweet. Thank
and
you.
And she is a gymnast and loves that very, very much. And yet, she knows your story. And then there are people, as you say, who are also have been survivors who know another side of that as well. And that seems like it's a very difficult thing to articulate in a way where you're not squashing on someone's dreams, but you're also being realistic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when I was younger, I thought that when I was 8 years old, I watched the 1996 Olympic women's gymnastics team. And my impression was that every single gymnast was perfect and that they never had bad days. And I just thought everything was just, you know, like rainbows and cupcakes and everything was perfect all the time. And that's not how it is. And I think it's important, you know, to teach kids that you're not always going to be the best at everything. Your life isn't going to be perfect, but it's important to realize that that's okay. And if you're going through a hard time, it's okay to speak up. In fact, we should encourage them to do that, because I think that if we start encouraging and teaching kids from a young age that, you know, we do have to start having those conversations with kids really early about adults can make kids feel uncomfortable and can touch them inappropriately. And I know that's a very difficult conversation to have with kids, but it's really, really important, because the statistics are 1 in 4 girls and 1 in 6 boys will be molested before the age of 18. And those are just people that speak up. Many don't feel comfortable speaking up because they're afraid they're not going to be believed, or, you know, and I think that we just have to change the conversation. But I really, the way I look at it, and I try my best to relay this message to everyone else, is I love gymnastics so much and I care about it so much. And I am speaking up because I know that this sport is such an unbelievable sport and there's a better way to do things. You know, I think that just having education for every single adult that enters the sport is so important. I think every single adult should be educated on verbal, physical, emotional, and sexual abuse and everything in between. And I mean, any parent that goes into the gym, any babysitter, any coach, it doesn't matter, even if you step foot into any kind of sporting gym, I think you need to be educated on it, because we have to do our part as adults to protect children. And if the adults are not educated, then the children are not going to be educated.
You write in the book that you said, I felt like I sometimes did well out of fear. So how do you replace that fear with pure motivation?
Well, you know, from a young age, I always put a tremendous amount of pressure on myself. And, you know, the thing with gymnastics is that, you know, how you do is based off of how the judges think that you did. So you could do your best routine, but maybe the judges don't feel that it was your best routine. And there's only 5 girls that make the Olympic team. They actually just changed it now. So 2020 will be 4 gymnasts. And so it's a lot of pressure. And, you know, they're looking for somebody that is very consistent. And when they pick you on the Olympic team, they're picking you because they're, you know, hoping that you're going to hit your routine and you're not going to mess up. And so it's a lot of pressure. And you feel like if you don't do well, you have that fear that you're not going to be picked on the Olympic team. And I was always worried, you know, people don't realize it's not just Olympic trials that, you know, that picks the Olympic team. It could be, you know, the World Championships the year before is a very big factor in that. And if you're somebody, if you make a big mistake at World Championships, that could affect your chances of going to the Olympics, you know, a year later. So it is a lot of pressure. And because there's only a couple of girls competing, it's very competitive. But, you know, I think that what really helped me is just learning to compete with myself and trying hard not to compare myself to other people, which is hard. And it's something that I think that is something a lot of people can probably relate to, whether it's with your sport or even on social media. I know that's a big problem with our generation, is comparing your life to someone else's life on social media. But I think it's important to learn to compete with yourself. And as long as you're the best version of yourself, you're working as hard as you can, and you're a good person, then that's all you can do. And you can look back with no regrets.
You know, as you look at it over the past year, and it has been a tumultuous year, what do you see as the state of gymnastics in this country? Do you see really positive changes that have come immediately after so many people speaking out?
You know, I'm very impressed and really proud with the current gymnasts that are competing. I think that they've done an incredible job. They're very strong and very mentally tough. They just competed at World Championships. They've done an amazing job. They've obviously proved that even though the organization is falling apart, they are doing an incredible job. And so the gymnastics team and the gymnasts are going to be fine. It's just, you know, the state of USA Gymnastics right now, it's very devastating to see everything. I mean, there's been so many resignations in the last year. There hasn't been one explanation, and you can't expect that there's a new USA Gymnastics until we fully understand the extent of the problem. You know, there hasn't been a full independent investigation. So, you know, these resignations and new hires is not, to me, that's not change, because if the new hires aren't learning from the previous people's mistake, and if they're still working with people that covered this up, then there's nothing is ever going to change. But without a real independent and full investigation and more transparency, then this problem is not going to be fixed. And it's scary. You know, you don't want history to repeat itself. But I just think that child abuse is a really big problem. And I think in the sport of gymnastics, and not just in gymnastics and a lot of other sports, I don't think coaches really understand how scarring verbal abuse is. And I, you know, when you go into a gymnastics gym, sometimes you see, you know, an 8-year-old being screamed at because they're falling off the beam. And it's not like an 8-year-old or anybody is falling off on purpose. So it needs to be better education for people to understand that yelling is not going to get the kid to do a better job. And it needs to be kind of more of an environment where it's more comfortable speaking up, and in an environment where kids are educated to understand that if something doesn't feel right, or even if you just don't even want to do gymnastics anymore, it's okay to speak up. It's okay to do what makes you happy. In fact, it's a good thing.
You write in the book, I mean, you continued to train for the Olympics. You were under tremendous physical and emotional pressure, and you kept going. And when you look at the state of gymnastics now, I would assume that in some way, if not entirely, has to weigh on your decision if you're going to compete in the future.
Yeah, I mean, it's been very hard for me to be not on the same page as USA Gymnastics. I started gymnastics when I was about 2 years old with mommy and me classes, and I love gymnastics so much, and it's been such a part of my life. I mean, USA Gymnastics is my family since I was a little girl. So it's been really hard for me to feel like they don't like me. And it's also hard for me because I just want every child that goes into the sport to love it and to have a good experience. And I, you know, I know a lot of elite gymnasts that leave the sport and they don't want anything to do with it, and they don't like it. And I know everyone has different experiences, and there are some people that might have wonderful experiences in the sport. But, you know, I think that what people have to realize is that there wouldn't be so many people speaking up if it wasn't bad and if things didn't need to change. And this is so much bigger than just one abuser. You know, there's a lot of problems that need to change. I think also, you know, every single coach as well needs to be educated on nutrition, because I hear a lot of coaches are really strict with, you know, the gymnast weight, but they are telling them what not to eat, but they're not educated on the proper things to eat. So it's not a healthy balance. And I think, you know, young girls and boys need to learn from a young age, you know, to take care of their bodies and to treat food as fuel, because I see a lot of, you know, body dysmorphia in the sport as well. And it's, again, it's not just gymnastics. My hope is to have an impact on as many sports as I can, not just in gymnastics, but it definitely does affect my decision on whether or not I want to come back, because it's really hard. And it's been exhausting to process everything. You know, there are some days where I can't even work out. There are some days where when speaking up, and also when just processing your own trauma. I mean, somebody's just walking up the stairs, I'm like exhausted. It's amazing to me how I went from working out 7 hours a day and totally working out as hard as I can to when you really process what happened to you and that trauma and the PTSD, it is so exhausting and it takes everything out of you. So I'm really focusing right now on taking care of myself. And I encourage anyone else out there that's having a hard time to make time for themselves too, because it's really important. And it's not easy to go to therapy. It's not easy to get help, but it does really help in the long run.
You make a beautiful point in the book about how important it is just to look in the mirror and identify three things that you love about yourself. That's something you do.
Yes, I do. I mean, I think that I really worked a lot on writing in a journal as well, or just at the end of, you know, the day, I try to write down things that I'm grateful for, and just really focusing on all the amazing things in my life, because it's been hard, as I said, when you're, you know, I feel like I'm fighting against this organization that I've, you know, I love the sport so much, and I think of the sport separately than I do USA Gymnastics, because I've learned so many amazing things about myself from gymnastics, and I'm so grateful the platform it's given me. I'm so grateful. I think gymnastics is such an amazing sport, and it teaches you so much, and it teaches you also to appreciate your body, because I think that's also something else that I do when I look in the mirror, is I'm grateful for gymnastics, that I'm able to appreciate how strong my body is, and think that that was something that sort of came over time, because when I was younger, the boys in my class used to make fun of me for being too muscular, which I also talked about in the book. But it's important to really focus on the things that you like about yourself, but also realize to be more compassionate to yourself, because I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. There are some days where you look in the mirror and you feel more self-conscious. But in those moments, I remind myself that on the outside is not what's important, it's what's on the inside. And as long as you can wake up every morning and you feel that you're doing the right thing, you're a good person, or you're trying to be the best version of yourself, then that's all you can do. But I think that there's just so much pressure with social media and these photoshopped magazine covers and sometimes these photoshopped ads that people see that really contribute to the body dysmorphia that so many people have. You know, I had a mom tell me the other day that her 4-year-old daughter, at 4 years old, she's already complaining that, you know, she doesn't like the way that she looks. And that makes me just absolutely devastated. And that was something that really stuck with me, is just really, we really have to figure out a way to change this, because it's going with social media, I think, is these kids are getting so much more self-conscious at such an early age. So that just breaks my heart that a 4-year-old is upset that she thinks her stomach looks big.
The last words in your book are, put your phone down and go enjoy your life, which seems like good advice. The name of the book is Fierce: How Competing for Myself Changed Everything. Ali Raisman is going to be speaking at the CEFQ Arena on Monday night on the UAlbany campus at 7:30. You can find out more information by going to albany.edu. Albany.edu. Ali Raisman, December 3rd, 7:30 at the CEFQ Arena. Ali, what a great pleasure and an honor to speak to you. Congratulations for all your beautiful work, and thank you for sharing with us.
Thank you so much.
Again, Ali Raisman will be at the University at Albany CEFQ Arena, 7:30 on Monday night, December 3rd. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.